From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 20th day of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, we'll take a look at the stimulus package and its impact on agriculture, hear how the president's visit to Canada might impact agriculture, and a bit on cool as well. All those stories later in the program, along with a discussion about corn and bean acres with Gary Schnitke, ag economist, right here on this campus. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
The numbers on a Friday afternoon in Chicago finished the day like this. A lot of red there. The March wheat futures finished the soft red at 519 and a quarter lower. May at 530 and a half, down a half, and July 542 and a quarter, down 1 cent. September wheat at 565, a penny and three quarters lower. March corn futures at 350 and a quarter, down three. The May at 359, three lower. July down three at 368 and a half, and September corn 377 and three quarters, down three and a quarter. December futures 4 cents lower at $3.89 and three quarters of a cent a bushel. Crude oil futures 54 cents lower at this hour. Ethanol futures are down 2 6 tenths of a cent. The soybean futures are 22 cents lower at 862 and a half. In the nearby March, the May at 863 and a quarter, 22 and three quarters lower. And July in the bean pit at 869 and a quarter, down 22 and a quarter. The August futures 863 and a half, down 19 and a half cents. November beans 830 and a half, down 14 and a half on the afternoon. March bean meal at 270, 650 lower. The May meal at 267.20, down $6.70. The March bean oil 30.22, 20 cents lower. And the May bean oil at 30.53, it's down 22 cents. February live cattle futures from the CME Group's livestock side at 80.67 and a half, 52 and a half cents lower. The April futures 83.42 and a half for the live cattle, down a buck 32 and a half. The feeders on the nearby at 88.37 and a half. That's the March contract, down $2.25. April at $2 and a nickel lower at 89.82 and a half. And April lean hogs at 57.95. $2.62.5 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are 54 cents lower. $38.94 a barrel is the trade in the March contract. April futures down 15 cents at $40.03. Ethanol at $1.51.9, 2 6 tenths lower. RBOB gasoline trading at $1.07, 2 2 tenths. Is down 2 6 tenths, and natural gas at $4 even is down 7 1/10. Propane futures March contract at 62.5 unchanged. April at 63 3/10. That's just about 8 tenths higher for the day. Gold futures trading at $1,001.80, up $25.70. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 74.39 is just about 27 cents lower for the day. The CRB index at 202.67 is down 2.47 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like for Illinois and Indiana. A winter storm warning for northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana will be in effect from late tonight through tomorrow afternoon. A winter storm watch is in effect for northern Indiana, that through tonight and tomorrow afternoon as well. And a winter weather advisory for portions of central Illinois will be in effect from this evening through noon tomorrow, and for portions of east central Illinois and western Indiana from this evening until tomorrow evening. Our forecast says the two-state tonight should look mostly cloudy. Some snow arriving in western Illinois by early evening. Snow will expand across the northern and central sections of Illinois and into western Indiana during the evening. Lows will range from 18 in northwestern Illinois to 35 in the far south. And then tomorrow in the north and central sections of Indiana, cloudy, snow heavy at times. In central Illinois, cloudy periods of snow. They'll diminish through the afternoon to scattered snow showers and flurries.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, always joins us on Friday, or most Fridays he does. He's there this afternoon. Hi, Mike.
Hi there, Todd.
Busy week, down week. Let's start with maybe some cattle numbers to begin with. The cattle on feed report was out this afternoon.
Yeah, pretty much a yawner, a non-event, pretty neutral given that the on feed numbers, the placements marketed is all within range, 94 on feed for February 1, placements 104, marketings for Jan 94%. Well, probably the only thing worth note is we're still showing about 6% less cattle on feed than last year pretty consistently now. There was a pretty big sell-off on the close at the CME ahead of this report. Some traders looking at maybe a little bit more bearish of a report, and they obviously were watching that lower stock market. So might be due for a little pop on Monday if the stocks can hold their losses to a minimum here.
Yesterday I was at the bull sale at the state fairgrounds for the Illinois Performance Test of Bull Sale here in this state in Springfield, and they had the third highest record sale on site yesterday, including the highest price ever paid for a bull. It was 8,600. It may have been 89, but 300 difference isn't going to be too much there. So apparently the cattle producers a couple, 2 or 3 years out, are thinking they'll have good times again. Do you think that'll be the case?
Yeah, I do. I think those supplies will catch up with us eventually. You know, it's pretty hard to see that live cattle in the southern plains are only trading around 80 to 81, and that's on pretty weak demand. So I guess I do feel like by the time we get maybe even to the late part of spring, early part of summer, especially if we see kind of some daylight in the demand again and in the overall economy again, cattle will be pretty hard to get a hold of, especially the feeder weight cattle.
Let's turn our attention to the outside markets to begin with, because this seems to be where things are really, the action's been happening. We've watched those before. Sometimes it's the crude, sometimes it's the Dow. Today it's the Dow down, I don't know, I've got a 20-minute delay, but down about 40 points, and it's been pretty low today. 7,400's a rough. It's been down near 73, and I think that's pretty close to the lows we've had.
Yeah, it is. In fact, the Dow futures took out the November lows earlier this morning. Today could have been a lot worse day than it was and what it ended up to be, Todd, because the spot dollar, not the March index, but the spot dollar itself tested within a couple ticks of its November highs, but failed, and it was pretty interesting because the dynamic of the trade changed pretty dramatically when the dollar hit that high, went from about 600 positive on the day to about 1,000 points negative on the day, currently down about 1,100 points. That really caused the commodities, I think, to breathe kind of a sigh of relief. And then maybe some of the micro fundamentals came in and helped us too. The weekly export sales were extremely good, fifth straight week of a million metric ton plus on corn sales. China bought 30,000 tons of U.S. wheat reported after lunchtime, and that was due reportedly to the drought over there. And then the Argentina Grains Exchange came in and lowered some of their soy and corn estimates for production, came in line and matched up with the USDA pretty nicely. So those things took a foothold, but it really took the dollar to fail at its highs, and that tended to bring the bank stocks and the S&P and the Dow all back around. And actually, we got the crude oil up on the day at one point, I think a little over a dollar. We're back down about 50 cents here in the post-trade.
Just for those who don't watch charts, and when you go down, and this looks like it certainly went back down and tested and went it to below where it had been before for the Dow, that's pretty important when it holds that level and manages to bounce. You say it's on the dollar and becoming a bit weaker. How important technically is it for it to hold at this point?
Well, you bring up a huge point. If you go below 7,200 or 7,197 on the actual Dow Industrials, we have not been below that level since going all the way back to the late 1990s. We tested that level in October of 2002, the last time we had a real tough economy and a slowdown, but we have not been below that since the mid to late 90s. So I think you're saying something that would be a 10, 12-year issue in the marketplace if you take that out, and what you're getting at is that aggregate demand. And the worst thing that happens here, it's kind of like Tom and I were talking this morning, the worst thing that happens here is the banks are leading us lower, in the equities markets. And the banks are the ones that are key to not just the stock values, but they're key to the credit values, they're key to the housing values. If the banks are leading us lower, then how can we expect consumption and that aggregate demand to pick back up again? That's the real issue that, you know, takes us out farther than just 2009. It could spill over all the way into 2010, 2011. I mean, we're not saying anything unusual here because the IMF themselves said deleveraging by the banks will continue all the way through 2012. The only hope I have right now is that this week's price action in the S&P and in the bank stocks, they factored in bank nationalization and took these bank stocks down to about as low as they can get, took their bond values down to about as low as they can get, expecting the Obama administration or Congress to go ahead and nationalize the banks. So maybe if we don't nationalize the banks, they'll have to put some premium back in, and we've got a pretty solid low in place. That's the best-case scenario we can come up with.
All right. Well, I like that scenario.
I
tend to be optimistic, so let's stay optimistic, I think. You like wheat to lead things out. Let's see. We've got an Argentine wheat crop that's pretty much failed, if I remember correctly.
Right.
China, you tell me, has a bad wheat crop on the run, and we've got wheat, well, it's been under pressure today. I hope you feel better soon, too.
Oh, thank you.
Well, that one's been under pressure today. It only lost a quarter of a cent, and the nearby July was down just a penny. Can you see wheat futures trying to hold the rest of the marketplace up?
We can, because the Southern Plains and even in Illinois we're having some wheat issues. When we were in Jacksonville last week, talked to some producers at our seminar that were a little bit south of there near that Vandalia area, they were actually talking about ripping wheat up and planting corn because they themselves were dry and had not had very many rains and had pretty poor stands. So, you know, on a global basis, certainly wheat, because it's the most sensitive to the dollar and it's the most sensitive to the demand, especially when it's poor demand. If we are the ones that carry most of the supplies globally and the world demand comes back, it should show up first in the wheat.
I'm sorry. And then if you take a look at this, if it shows up first in the wheat, then how do we manage corn and soybean acres?
Well, there's probably going to be a lag. But, you know, what happened this week was really astounding to the corn and bean markets. There was, whether the trade realized it or not, they put a lot of corn acres back on the table with that bean-corn ratio. March corn lost 13 cents this week. March beans lost 93 cents. So the ratio went from about 225 in the no-bean-dees-corn ratio down to about 2.13
right
by the end of this week. Todd, that's really huge right now because this is right in the middle of this crop insurance figuring for the base prices. And what we've picked up from producers is there is a lot of refiguring going on right now in terms of revenue. It was a month ago, everybody was talking about high fertilizer prices and the cost problems with planting corn. Now what we're starting to hear is, why should I change my rotation if beans go down faster than corn? If I make 200 bushel corn, I can still make more money per acre on corn than I would 60 bushels on beans, given the fall prices for cash corn and beans right now. So we're really, really kind of flipping a coin right now. But this week, I think we did put some more corn back on the table as far as additional acres.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That'll do it. Just have a nice weekend.
Hey, you too. Thanks much, Mike.
You bet.
Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. It comes to us each and every Friday afternoon right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and Commodity Week. Daryl Good will be our guest this week. We'll post it by about 6 o'clock tonight to willag.org. And on the daily programming, if you can't get to the website or hear us on a radio station, why don't you dial this number, 217-333-3434. We update at 10:30 and 3:15 with a bit of the numbers and some of the analysis from the opening markets and the closing markets right here on this radio station. In today's agricultural news, in his first foreign trip as president, Barack Obama is focusing on trade and the environment. The president is in Canada, and a top aide says the main message for the prime minister there is that the United States intends to maintain a robust trading relationship with the country. That will include assurances that the Buy American trade provisions included in the economic stimulus package, which alarmed Canadian officials, will not adversely affect trade. Speaking of that, just as the president works to assure the Canadian government the U.S. wants to maintain a strong trade relationship with the country, some farm lobbyists say a proposal for unofficial changes to the country of origin labeling laws could revive a cattle trade dispute between the two nations. While Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack did not unveil details of the final cool rule as planned on Wednesday of this week, a U.S. farm lobbyist told Reuters the damage is done, increasing frictions just in time for the presidential meeting in Canada. Now let's hear a bit more from President Obama and the stimulus package that was passed this week and how it will have an impact on agriculture. Gary Crawford reports from USDA.
We have begun the essential work of keeping the American dream alive in our time, and that's why we're here today.
President Barack Obama in Denver Tuesday to sign the $787 billion economic stimulus bill, a combination of tax cuts and investments, some of which will reach into rural America. For example, there is money and support for renewable energy projects and research.
That can create countless well-paying jobs. It's an investment that will double the amount of renewable energy produced over the next 3 years.
Also, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has said this bill has more money in it for other projects in rural areas.
It will invest substantial sums of money in broadband access and new wastewater facilities, new construction projects, all of which are important to put people to work in rural America.
And so with this stimulus bill and other actions coming up, President Obama said, with hard work,
we will leave the struggling economy behind us.
And so, with 10 different pens, the president signed the stimulus bill.
There you go. It's done.
It's done. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
One final note for the day. Dwight Wilder of USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service has now explained just how the recent drought in Argentina has impacted the wheat and the corn crops in that nation. And it may impact the yet-to-be-harvested soybean crop there, too.
The wheat crop has pretty much been completely harvested by now. Corn crop is still out in the field. Unfortunately, the recent rains will not really have much of an impact on the yields on the corn. What still can have an impact on is the soybean crop, of course. And so the soybean crop will begin to be harvested in certain areas around the end of March and into April. What I have been told that distinguishes this year's drought from some of the other droughts in years past is that at the initial planting phase of the crop, it was dry. In fact, a lot of the fields were not planted this year because it was so dry. And the crops have been stunted in growth due to that drought at the earlier part of the growing cycle. And so even though soybeans have this incredible resilience to come back after a drought with just a little bit of water, it's going to be interesting to see what happens this year because of that dry period at the beginning of the crop.
That's Dwight Wilder of USDA's Foreign Agricultural Service, and that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of WILL, public radio for the farming world. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program as an MP3 file and a podcast. And Commodity Week 2, it's our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture. This week, our guest is Darrell Good, Extension Ag Economist from right here on this campus. Commodity Week will be posted to the website at willag.org by just about 6 o'clock this evening. Now up next, you know, fertilizer companies and dealers located right here in the upper Midwest have had a lot of high-priced inventory on hand that some say could give farmers a reason not to plant acres of corn this spring. I'll have more from the U of I's Gary Schnitke. The high price at which companies and dealers bought and stored inventory last summer could impact the planting decisions farmers make this spring. That high-priced fertilizer was mostly destined for fields to be planted in corn. Instead, it could just sit in storage, says University of Illinois farm management specialist Gary Schnittke, with farmers deciding to plant more acres to soybean.
The impact that this is going to have on planting decisions is sort of an interesting one. And if you're looking at what has happened to the futures prices in the last month, it's favored planting soybeans versus corn. We've seen both of those corn and soybean prices decline, but corn has declined relatively more than soybeans. If fertilizer prices don't decline, it will make soybeans look relatively more profitable than corn, and we could see some switches from corn to soybeans, which would reduce or eliminate the need for nitrogen on those soybean acres.
And the local fertilizer dealer would be stuck with the unused inventory and the bill. That could make for some interesting financial tidewaters. Here's how the U of I breaks out the price differences by crop and fertilizer price.
Corn fertilizer cost, if we used $1,000 anhydrous ammonia and comparable DAP and potash prices, were $210 per acre in the fall. That would fall to $143 in the spring. And soybeans would fall from $92 in the fall down to $64 in the spring. Well, the decline is much bigger for corn because of nitrogen. So if fertilizer prices don't decline, cost will be relatively more for corn than soybeans, and if prices don't decline, even in central Illinois, using current prices, soybeans looks more profitable than corn right now. If central Illinois and northern Illinois look that way, a lot of the Corn Belt looks that way. So
just on the numbers, soybeans are in the driver's seat unless and until the price of corn can rally higher in Chicago. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Now, you know as well as I do that rally higher means that it'll also close that gap by coming down at less a steep rate than the soybeans, and that's exactly what has happened in the last week or so. I recorded that piece with Gary, and I forgot about that and how it was put together just a bit about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So things have changed, but it shows you just how quickly things change in the marketplace. Speaking of talking of change in the marketplace, on Friday afternoons, we always are joined by Bruce Bostard, who's up at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market. Bruce is here this afternoon. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Well, you know, we talked with Gary a couple of weeks ago, and things have changed, and corn has closed the gap on beans, and now the ratio is a little different and probably favors corn. Are you hearing that from your producers, too?
Not so much yet. I think everybody, we've seen this fluctuate so much that people are waiting until the last minute. They always talk about how down in the Delta the producers are an expert to wait to the last day possible to decide what goes in the ground, corn, beans, or cotton, and take cotton out of the equation. I think we're getting that way in central Illinois this year.
Indeed. I get asked a lot to put John Bondurant on just about this time of year before he makes his decisions as opposed to after. Hey, I've got 20 seconds. What are your bids for the day?
We are at 348 on nearby corn, 352 for new crop, 859 on beans. Board goes down and the basis tightens up.
Indeed. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report today.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steeped liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here on the Illinois State Water Survey grounds in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's start with the big weather, which is winter storms and watches and warnings and all kinds of things that are out across the Midwest.
Yeah, we have a clipper system that'll be coming through the Midwest here over the next 24 hours and could drop as much as 6 to maybe locally 8 inches of snow across an area from southern Wisconsin to northern Illinois across Michigan. And further amounts, lesser amounts further south. Well, we may pick up a couple of inches down here and then even less than that as you head further south through Illinois. Central Indiana might actually pick up a little bit more than us depending on the exact path of the low and the moisture. So the big thing is it's going to be a quick hitter. It's going to come through fairly quickly. Most of the accumulating snow will be done with by midday tomorrow, but there'll be flurries around, and it'll be cold and windier. So probably be a little brief period tomorrow where there's going to be some travel problems. But by early next week, this will be just a memory.
Just a memory. What happens then?
Well, the high pressure is following this and going to bring us a couple of days of cold weather. It's going to move off to the east coast, and we'll get a southerly airflow here right through the Midwest and the Gulf. So things should warm up a little bit the early part of the week. That'll also feed moisture into another cold front. So we'll have a couple of days of milder weather early in the week and then another strong cold front coming in toward the middle to latter half of next week. So pretty changeable weather pattern overall.
That southern wind carrying up heat from the southwest or other places?
Well, it's mostly from our – we won't be getting it from the southwest as we must – will the southeast and the Gulf, but out in the southwest, they'll see temperatures getting into the 70s and 80s into the Texas Panhandle by early next week, and it'll probably stay mild there until late in the week when that cold front probably will push as far south as Kansas, Oklahoma, maybe just barely into the Texas Panhandle, but south of there it should stay warm while it's cooler to the north.
Sounds like something that could bring wheat on and let it get starting to green up and then snap it pretty back hard into the winter regions.
It's hard. Right now it's really difficult to say how long that heat's going to lay in there, but if we get that cold front through or goes a little further south, I don't think a day or two it's going to be too much of a problem, but it'll have to be something we watch.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Nope, looks like we're just in for a changeable week.
Well, that's the way it happens at this time of year here in the Midwest. Thanks much.
All right, Todd.
Yep, Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, belongs to NOAA, and is located at the Illinois State Water Survey here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget to visit our website this evening at about 6 o'clock. We'll post our weekend program. It's called Commodity Week, a complete look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. Our guest this week is Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the U of I. Commodity Week up on the website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
The The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.